From KCFR News, this is Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. People walk into emergency rooms every day without insurance. By law, hospitals have to treat them. But when those patients can't pay for treatment, who does? That's what we'll explore today as our series on the uninsured in Colorado continues. Joining us is Maureen Tarrant, President and CEO of Skyridge Medical Center in Lone Tree. It's a for-profit Health One hospital. Jackie Driscoll is Vice President of Centura Health, a not-for-profit that operates 12 hospitals in Colorado. Welcome to Colorado Matters, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Maureen, give us a picture of what happens when someone without insurance walks through the doors of the emergency room at Skyridge Medical Center.
Well, in fact, at our hospital, 13% of the people who come in on any given day walk in without insurance. And there is no difference between what happens to a patient that comes in through the emergency department, whether they have insurance or not. They come in, they're triaged clinically, they're treated. If they need admission, they're admitted. If they can be discharged, they're discharged.
It's what happens, I guess, beyond that, where the distinctions lie in terms of the billing. And so what happens? Do you give that person a bill if you know they don't have insurance? Or?
Well, if they have no ability to pay, they're immediately classified as charity care, and it's written off. If they have an ability to pay, we immediately take 50% off the bill and do the best we can to work out a payment plan.
So there's already some absorption, even if they can pay something.
Absolutely.
And Jackie, does that sound like what goes on at a Centura hospital?
Yes. Actually, yes. It's very, very similar. I think our facilities see a little bit more of uninsured, especially because we have facilities outside of the Denver metro area. So especially Pueblo, we have quite a large concentration of uninsured and charity care patients.
What would you say is the percentage? I think we heard about 12 or 13% from Maureen.
Overall, about 17%.
17%. Mm-hmm. And in terms of what I think we're most interested in is, so you've absorbed that cost, maybe you write it off as charity care, but that represents a cost. It represents an expense. So what happens, Maureen?
Well, if you could picture a wing of a hospital, and if you could picture 20 patients in different private rooms in Skyridge Medical Center, think about the person who's employed, who's been paying for their health care premiums for all their adult life. I would have to tell you that in full honesty, I could walk into that person's room and say, do you know that you're actually paying for three other people down the hall? Now, I wouldn't want to create that kind of chaos and contention on a nice, quiet patient care unit, but that is the truth. The other door I'd have to knock on is the door of the federal and state government to say, taxpayers, you too are paying for those three people down the hall who don't have any insurance, because there is tremendous cost shifting. It is exactly what happens, I think, in most hospitals in the United States.
Jackie?
Absolutely. And we do know that our partners, our insurance partners, understand this. They are fully aware of what is happening. It's one of the reasons that we work very hard in our industry to keep good relationships, because as a society, we have to address this sooner or later. And as Maureen said, the federal government pays for 40% of the patients that are seen in our facilities. Medicaid doesn't even pay us enough to cover our costs. So there is shifting of covering the costs of those uninsured patients to those patients that have insurance.
So you've each mentioned the percentage of care that you give to uninsured patients. What does that add up to dollar-wise? I mean, percentage is one thing, but what are the bucks here, Maureen?
Well, in my seven-hospital system here in the metropolitan Denver area, it's $200 million per year.
$200 million, and this is in the Health One system.
This is the Health One system.
For Centura, in fiscal year of 2006, we had $333 million in uncompensated care.
Jackie has talked about a lack of awareness when it comes to the third-party system. And
yes.
And I wonder, is that what's contributing to the fact that someone walks through the door and expects that something will be paid for? I mean, I guess a sense of entitlement.
You know, Ryan, I would tell you two things. You're absolutely right. I think in the United States, there is a significant sense of entitlement around having health care be provided as a right. There's a fascinating study of bills that people feel compelled to pay. The number one bill in the United States people feel compelled to pay is cable. hospital bills of 100 bills, I think, came in number 94. Tremendous sense of entitlement. The next thing I would tell you is that here in Colorado, unfortunately, we have very, very restrictive Medicaid program. That is to say that in order to be entitled to go on Medicaid, people have to have incredibly low income and incredibly low level of assets. So what that does is it forces people who really live in medical poverty to come in through the emergency department of either a Health One hospital, an Exempla hospital, an Centura hospital, etc., and get what I think we would all say is the most expensive form of health care. And one of the messages I think that all of us on the provider, on the hospital side, are trying to vocalize to our legislators is if we actually funded Medicaid more generously, we could get more people to more cost-effective provider systems for their health care.
And based on what we heard from Jackie, even those who are on Medicaid then walk into the hospital, and the hospital is not being reimbursed for, apparently, the full cost of the service.
That is true.
That is true. Do you think hospitals, philosophical question here, should bear the responsibility for treating patients without insurance?
Absolutely. 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 This is our mission. We are here to provide care to people that need hospital services, that need medical services. As a society, is it our mission to cover the cost of care for everyone? I think we need to have that debate.
Maureen, shaking your head.
I do. I feel differently. I think that this is a public policy discussion that affects everyone. I heard from one of my CEO colleagues a couple years ago an analogy that I have never been able to get out of my mind because I think it's a great one. And what he said was, when people go into King Soopers who have no ability to pay for food, they're typically not filling up their carts and going to the cashier and saying, can you wave me through? I just don't have any money. And in society, we don't expect King Soopers Safeway to fund the food stamp program directly. So I would tell you that I think we have to get outside the four walls of a hospital to talk about with businesses, with individuals, with legislators who should pay for this. We talked primarily today about people who really don't have the ability to pay for health insurance premiums. But there's also a lot of people out there who do have the ability to pay, who work for employers who give them that option, and are making other choices about where they'd like to spend their discretionary income. And I'm not talking about food or rent. I'm talking about cars and ski passes. So I think there's also that group of people who need to address this issue as well.
You're listening to Colorado Matters on KCFR, and as part of our series on the uninsured in Colorado, we're getting the perspective of two hospitals. Jackie Driscoll is vice president of Centura Health. Centura operates 12 hospitals along the Front Range. And Maureen Tarrant is president and CEO of Sky Ridge Medical Center in Lone Tree. A study last year by the Oakland, California-based Institute for Health and Socioeconomic Policy, a mouthful there, found that hospitals across the country were charging an average of nearly 2.5 times the actual cost of care. The study also found a correlation between high hospital markups, high profits, and the growth of large hospital chains. So I want to ask pointedly, Jackie, are hospitals unfairly padding costs?
I don't think the intent is for hospitals to unfairly pad costs. I think it was consequences of decisions that were made in the heat of the moment that compounded and ended up with unintended consequences. So if you go back and you just look at the cost of an aspirin in 1960,
right,
and you stick that in your charges, and then the CFO has to make his budget every year, so he adds a 3% increase, compounding over 50 years, you're going to find that that aspirin is way overpriced. Nobody looks at every single charge every single year because the ability to do that when you've got 250,000 charge items is overwhelming to a human being. And you can find other places more important to put your attention to detail in a hospital.
Yeah, there are lots of items in a supermarket, and those prices change every day.
Mm-hmm. It's not an ideal model. And frankly, you have to understand that no one pays the charges. The bill that comes out to the uninsured, yes, indeed, it does represent those very high charges. But we no one expects the uninsured or anyone else to pay those charges. It's an artificial and very embarrassing, in a way, vulnerable methodology of charging that all hospitals across the nation have found themselves trapped in. Many, many hospitals, including Centura, are looking at completely redoing their list of prices and to set them very fairly and at the point where there is the needed margin, but not out of whack, if you will.
Well, is part of that margin the cost shifting that we talked about? I mean, is part of the reason that aspirin seems so darned expensive because of the other costs you're absorbing?
You know, when an insurance company negotiates a rate with a hospital, they negotiate on a per case or per day basis, so it doesn't matter what the charges say. It really doesn't. When an uninsured person comes in, the financial counselors work with them from the beginning. Typically, it is based on the full bill, but the discount is taken on a gross level, just across the board, 50% or whatever it is that the hospital is either by policy or negotiating across the nation. So I would say that we have created a public relations nightmare for ourselves in the hospital industry across the United States. And that is that we haven't been paying attention to the list price, the sticker price that you would see on a car.
Which would bring, I imagine, a healthcare consumer closer to that which he or
it
she
would.
Is consuming.
Yes.
Maureen, briefly on this subject.
Well, I've been in this business my entire adult career, and this whole issue of pricing is nothing short of crazy. Our hospital collects about 43 cents on every dollar we bill. And so how we price different services doesn't really relate directly to what is rendered at the bedside. There doesn't appear sometimes to be a lot of logic as to how certain things are priced. The infamous aspirin example, when you look at what is behind every drug in a hospital, well, what's behind there is a 24-hour pharmacy that has pharmacists and technicians, incredibly expensive technology that provides for safety of medication. So I don't think there's enough room on a page of a bill to explain all of what a hospital needs to do, because we're very heavily regulated, and if there's one thing we all share, it's our dedication to patient safety. It's extremely complex.
Colorado hospitals have posted healthy profits in recent years. According to data from Medicare, Metro Denver hospitals are faring even better than the national average. Centura, which is a not-for-profit, doesn't release all its figures, but had a net income of about $148 million. And last year's annual report credited Health One, which operates Skyridge, for boosting earnings by about $25 million in a year. Doesn't that mean that despite the situations that you've painted for us, there's room to absorb the cost of the uninsured? I mean, doesn't that mean if you're making profits and absorbing that, isn't the system working?
The system is working right now because we are making some margin right now, and we are able to invest in replacing old hospitals that you can't run wires through the walls because they're so old. We are investing in electronic medical records that will improve patient safety. We are investing in new technologies constantly. And we're investing in better, more robust programs for nursing education, for technical improvements, and those kind of things that are really important to us. We also see the day coming soon when the tipping point will be reached and there will not be enough insured patients to shift those costs to.
And when the employers can't meet the cost of rising insurance premiums.
Yes, that is absolutely very concerning to us. It is our number one concern, is this death spiral of a continued inflation, continued cost increases in the medical community with no end in sight, an aging population, and continued increases in those insurance premiums. Pretty soon the employers are going to reach a tipping point, and many of them already have, where they no longer can afford insurance. And in our third-party system, with no Medicaid, no safety nets, these people become uninsured. Some of them have means. Just because you're uninsured doesn't mean that you're poverty level. But the vast majority of people who we will be seeing that become uninsured are those that are less compensated for the jobs that they do. So
but
it
who,
is a concern for us.
But who are very often working, as we've established.
They are very
in
often
this series.
Working, yes.
Maureen, to this question of profit.
Well, I think the question you have to ask is, what happens to those profits? What happens to those dollars when they make it to the bottom line? Sky Ridge has been open now just over 3 years. It cost our company $150 million to buy the land, to build the hospital, to equip it. And, in fact, all my sister and brother hospitals funded that $150 million. That's what happened to their bottom line. Since that time, our company has needed to infuse another $100 million in what has been needed to keep up with the demand in the community. So I suspect you'd hear every healthcare system in metropolitan Denver respond similarly, that what we do to reinvest is significant. It's a very capital-intensive business, and I would tell you the good news is there's no better time to be a patient.
But back to this question, because what Jackie is saying is we're in a time right now where there's some wiggle room. Some employers are willing to pay rising premiums. The hospital has a margin. Do you agree that there's a tipping point when something will have to shift?
Oh, absolutely. I think what we're finding is with every passing year, there's more and more people who are not being able to afford health insurance. And so I think this is a tipping point. I think the public policy debate and who pays for what and who gets what is absolutely an item that needs to be on our radar screen and on our top agenda.
Well, Maureen, Jackie, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Maureen Tarrant is president and CEO of Sky Ridge Medical Center in Lone Tree. Jackie Driscoll is vice president for Centura Health, which operates 12 hospitals in the state. Our series on Colorado's uninsured continues next week. We're going to take a look at what other states are doing to expand coverage and whether they can go it alone.
This is not a state-by-state problem that can be fully solved one at a time. It is, however, a problem that states can and have made substantial progress on over the years.
That's next week on Colorado Matters. You can listen to other segments of our Uninsured series online at kcfr.org. I'm Ryan Warner.